She blinded me with science.
Greetings and welcome to the Unnormal Paranormal Podcast. The coronavirus outbreak has taken the game ball of perception and hit it over the proverbial left field fence, where legions of fans scramble to find it amongst the backdrop of frightened onlookers. With us today is a great friend of the show, clairvoyant Lindy Baker. While confusion remains about the pandemic's origin, she'll be offering advice on what messages we can derive in order to live a saner and more peaceful existence. Stay tuned, we'll be back in a moment with Lindy Baker.
You're listening.
Yeah, like all the time I'm listening.
To the Unnormal Paranormal Podcast. Thanks for listening. And we'll be back in one moment.
Ooh, like this really got me in orbit.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 144 of the Unnormal Paranormal Podcast. I'm Jeff Chavez. James Poston will be joining me next week. He's on special assignment. It's been too long since the last podcast. Would have been David Omen of the Omen House last December. David tried to kill us, so, you know, we're out of hiding and we're back. Anyway, it was the weather and the holidays, and they have a way of hitting you like a tsunami, but we're coming back. And so, out to help the Unnormal Paranormal Podcast is an old friend from Vegas, the High Priestess of the Desert, clairvoyant Lindy Baker. Lindy, fill us in. So what's been going on in your hemisphere lately?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you probably heard of all the Vegas shutdown, that the governor shut down all gaming. Yeah. And all of the major casinos had shut down, 14 or 15 of them. Now everything is shut down. The only thing that is operating are the essential services. So anything non-essential is not running. People are now working remotely. And I think, like in a lot of cities, we've got some crazy people. And so they've been gone and hoarding the food. So I went to the grocery store the other day and the shelves were pretty well bare, that even though they're having shipments in and they're stocking the store, that if you get there like an hour after it opens, the shelves are already bare. So it's not only a pandemic out there, but it's pandemonium out there too.
Now, when we're talking about essential services, so are you still able to meet with your clients in person, or are you doing it?
No.
You're not?
No.
Okay.
No, they're advising you not to go within 6 feet of anybody, and it is pretty much a lockdown. It's staying, stay home. The only people that are out there and about are people that work at gas stations, grocery stores, pharmacies, hospitals, doctors' offices, the firemen, the police.
How about restaurants?
No, not allowed.
Can't even do takeout.
They can do takeout. Okay. They can do takeout. Yeah, they're allowed to do takeout. And, you know, California is also in lockdown, too.
I heard about that.
Yeah, so that's got a lot. You know, Californians are used to getting in their car and driving all over the place, so.
I just don't understand how it'd be possible, because you have 10 cities in L.A. and you have homeless population.
So, I don't know what they're doing with that there. I do know what they're doing here is there's a lot of volunteer organizations that are out there and giving them food. There's
good.
A lot of controversy right now anyway, because Mayor Goodman, the mayor of Las Vegas, the city passed an ordinance, I think it was like 2 months ago, that if you were a homeless person and you were sleeping on the street, you got a $500 fine.
So that's
kind of like insane, because if they had money, they wouldn't be homeless on the street. But they were trying to find a way to get these homeless people to go into the places that are there for them. because a lot of the homeless won't go stay in the shelters,
right,
that are open for them. They'll stay on the street. And I have to say that when I was doing some work here some years ago to try to help the homeless, one that I did find that they had in common is that they are very worried about anybody controlling them. So yeah, that was one of the things, that they're very resistant to anybody telling them what to do, and that they'll get very oppositional. And if you tell them to stay off the sidewalk, they're going to make sure that they stay on it just to show you they can. So
they're talking about getting the National Guard out on the streets. And I think even President Trump is talking about using the military. I'm not sure how well that's going to go over, because LA is so gigantic. And I mean, what are you going to do?
It's got a lot of big cities there. So, well, and a lot of that also, I have to say, is because I heard that there's a lot of looting going on, that there are people, it's like breaking into these businesses that are closed up because they're on lockdown, and that there's people actually breaking into the windows and stuff like that and going in and looting, just as they did, you know, it's like back on a riot. So that might be why they're talking about bringing in, you know, martial law too. Who knows? I'm not, as a psychic clairvoyant, I'm not really sure why everybody is going into these strong arm tactics that they are, you know.
You mean the government?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is just over the top.
A lot of people are so quick to give up whatever liberties they have. It almost seems like this could break into civil unrest, civil discord.
Yeah, I think that it could, but the only thing there is that the homeless really are helpless. I think with a lot of homeless, that they gave up a long time ago. They just, you know, the attitude is, I don't have any power. I never did. You know, kind of like the world is against me. You know, I don't have any hope to get out of this. So they just kind of succumb to this is where their life is. And I actually had one of them one time tell me, well, I don't have any bills. I don't have any bills. I'm out here with my friends and stay warm. But you know, one of the reasons that LA has so much homeless
is because of the.
Is because it's warm. It's because it's warm.
And it is a high cost of living too.
Yeah, that can be. Yeah. Oh, very definitely. Because the rents. Well, the rents in most of the major cities now, like what I've heard is like in Boston, forget it. You know, Miami, Denver, that housing everywhere is like over the top for a lot of people.
I understand in LA and perhaps even in Las Vegas where you're at.
Yeah.
A 1 to 2 bedroom apartment costs about that much to rent.
Oh, more. More. Jeez. In LA? More. In LA, if you can find a studio apartment for $1,000, you're doing good. So I know people, I've got a friend that's not even in LA, has a 2-bedroom apartment that he rents, that the walls are so thin, and he pays $2,350 a month.
Jeez.
Yeah. I don't know how they're living it. And I think that's why, it's known in LA that, you know, you have 3 or 4 roommates. That's how they survive. And I know of a lot. I've known of, I had one girl that was from Pennsylvania, and she actually lived in her car for months.
That seems to be a new phenomenon. If you go onto YouTube, and I'm fascinated by it, anybody who can live in their car. And their documents, some people are actually making a living off of YouTube channels where they have their daily exploits and adventures living in their car. And they're doing it not only in vans, some people are doing it in Toyota Priuses, which is the car of the choice, because it has it's an advanced car. I mean, it's a basic
great mileage. Yeah.
Great mileage. Yeah. 50 some miles to the gallon. Yeah. And it's basically an electrical power plant, because you can set the temperature overnight, you know, in your Prius. You could set it to 70 degrees, And what will happen is your car will turn on and off throughout the night to heat or air condition your car.
I think really and truly what the coronavirus has done, though, is you're talking, I'm thinking about it's kind of like leveled the playing field. Because right now, it doesn't matter if you're a millionaire, billionaire, whatever you are, you can get the coronavirus.
That's true.
Some people, even in staying home, can get it, you know. And, you know, like we've got on the news right now, who is that? Like Rand Paul.
Rand Paul has
coronavirus. And he says he hasn't been around anybody, but he was traveling. And so, of course, he's been around some people. You know, we have the TSA agents. I heard about the TSA agents in, I was going to go up to San Jose, that the TSA agents tested positive up in the airport in San Jose, the TSA agents. So I don't really want to go up there.
And you know who else?
It's all through the airport.
You know who else possibly has it now? Weinstein.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Now, the minute I heard about it, I thought, oh, God, this is just another way for him to get out of jail.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
And because the last, if you've seen him in the last few months, he went from a healthy, vital person. Now, he was always a little overweight, but still a healthy-looking, vital person. All of a sudden, now you see him with a walker. And,
yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, that's the way that I look at him. That's the way I look at him. It's like, yeah, trying to manipulate every single way that you can to not have to go do your punishment. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, it takes a bunch of weird people to make a world, that's for sure.
Yeah. But we were talking about when we were talking about doing this episode, there's a lot of theories as to the origins of the COVID-19 coronavirus. Some people think that it's biological warfare. Some people think that it was some guys eating bats or bat soup in China.
I heard something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And well, they've been, my guess is that people have, excuse me, been eating bat soup for centuries. It doesn't sound like something new.
I heard that they do that in that culture. Mm-hmm. So, and that isn't like ack to them, you know, it's because they've been used to it. You know, it's like I was raised in a family where you ate liver and onions, but you have somebody else and they'd be going, oh, liver and onions, ick, you know.
But so, not bats.
I don't feel like it's from bats at all. I don't feel like that's from, and I feel that there's a lot of people out there that want to point a finger, like say at the Chinese, but we don't know that that's the only place that was going on, because at the same time it was going on in Italy, same time it was going on in other countries. It just wasn't out there being blasted through the news.
Right.
That was the difference. But it's kind of like I look at it as with Legionnaires' disease was around, but it took, I don't remember how many people, it was like a couple hundred people went to convention and all got sick. And it was only at that point that Legionnaires' disease was discovered.
Yeah, I remember that in the 70s.
Yeah. Right. And so, and recently, a couple of years ago, I've wondered if I got it. I stayed at the Rio, and later on, I found something that said the Rio found that they had Legionnaires' disease. And so they had to go through and, you know, it's like clean all their water or, you know, some the air conditioning system and that was just only 2 years ago in May. Yeah, yeah. And of course they didn't broadcast it. You had to, I was looking for something else on Google when that came up. So the way that I look at it is the coronavirus could have been out there. It could have been even the bronchial thing that I had all through December, January, February. But unless you have thousands of people die from it, it's just not really looked at seriously. You know, like you could have somebody go into a hospital that's got a bunch of people and they just kind of dismiss it and go, oh, you know, you got a virus, go home. You got flu, go mm-hmm. home. In my case, they tested me for flu and found I didn't have flu. And so they didn't understand why I had super high white count. And you could hear my lungs gurgling from 2 feet away without a stethoscope. And they didn't understand why that was happening. So what they did is give me a bunch of antibiotics, which did not help, and sent me home. So I used home remedies. I do go along with the belief that the germ warfare is involved in this.
There's even a theory out there that it was possibly created by American interests. Although its origins are in Asia, we do have laboratories, medical laboratories outside the country. And for anybody who's interested, there's a reporter, Kim Iverson, who does a superb job of expounding what she carefully explains as, listen, this could be batshit crazy, no pun intended, conspiracy theory, but there was plenty of reason why certain countries such as Iran, China, and even Italy are suffering from this, and why they got this before we did, because it was actually, the origins were over there, because it was developed under American auspices for a foreign audience. And people are saying, okay, Iran, we understand, we have the trade war with them, we have the embargo going. China, we have the trade war going, and Trump wants to play hardball with them. But Italy is in the forefront of this COVID-19 virus going on. Well, that's because Italy signed a major trade agreement with China last summer. And Secretary of State Pompeo was just absolutely livid about it. So, I mean, that's just another theory out there. Yeah. But
I don't look at it so much that way. I do look at just only, you know, through my own personal knowledge about Italy. I've not been there. But 10 years ago, I had a lot of clients out of Italy. I had an interpreter, and I would do readings for them, but we did them via email pretty much basically. And I was very surprised to find that majority of Italians didn't even have internet. They didn't have email. They didn't have internet. They didn't have computers. So when I hear about all this in Italy, I have to go, well, they're so far behind technologically that I don't feel like that they had the tools to combat it in the first place. And that's the reason that it's spread as crazy as what it has there. Also, if you look at that society, they're a touchy-feely society. They're hugging everybody, kissing everybody.
That's true.
Yeah. So we're here, we're more distant. And then also what I get on a psychic level is that there's some component here that has to do with humidity that helps that. And that's something that spirit, or, you know, I look at as the divine God, the higher power, whatever you want to call it, I call it spirit, that spirit indicated that also because of the humid, the watery conditions there, that also was helping that virus grow like crazy and spread like crazy. You know, so that's another thought too on the Italian debacle.
That's very interesting, because you mentioned about, yes, they are a very touchy-feely society. Here you hug somebody in the United States and you get a lawsuit. In Milan, you get invited over for dinner. So,
right. And it's, you know, and it's even the guys there hug and kiss each other. Do you know, right away when they're greeting? Also, I look at it, you know, Italians are drama. They're part of the drama feeling culture. And I'm saying that because my uncle was Charles Pucci Italian, and my dad's best friend was Joe Vitale Italian, and we hung around them. And they did kind of always, you know, it was always more dramatic. And that's why they talk with the Hannahs, and they.
that's interesting. So we were talking a little bit about this term that you've brought on the show before called karmic dissipation.
Yeah.
And we both agreed that regardless of, hey, however COVID-19 came about, whatever its origins are, you mentioned the word karmic dissipation. Could you define that for the audience and how that fits in with the coronavirus?
Okay, yeah, and whenever I talk about karmic dissipation, it takes a little, I think, a lot of explanation, because I think there's some definitions in order. One of the things that I would say is that you and I did a podcast about 2018 or something, wasn't it?
It was 2018, yeah. I'll have to go back and search that. It's a fascinating topic.
So if they go to Unnormal Paranormal and they do the search for Lindy Baker, then they could go down there and find Karmic Dissipation and they can listen to it. Or they can go to lindybaker.com, that's LindyBaker.com/ Karmic Dissipation. And it's KarmicDissipation. So the way that I'll start talking about this karmic dissipation, I'm going to take it first from a biblical thing, from a biblical kind of thing. And I want to point out to people that when I do my clairvoyant psychic readings, I don't look at that as anything that has to do with religion, even though that's where a majority of people want to put it. I look at it as that I was born with my mind functioning in a certain kind of a way, and it's different than a lot of other people.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's what my reading is. You could say it's like talking to the higher conscious, my higher conscious, who's higher conscious, cosmic, whatever. But I do want to explain that. So going into karmic dissipation, talking about that, I have a lot of notes here. It is not a spiritual religion-based process. When you've gone through the process, you're going to feel like you're an actor in a movie that's produced by the universe. You're going to feel distance from the reality of things, or that you're viewing them from a, quote, safe place. And so the word dissipation, for my heady intellectual types that would be listening here, dissipation is an important thing in the world of physics. In physics, when we're talking about atoms and molecules, and one of the references here for people that watched The Big Bang Theory with Sheldon, that had an episode on it where Sheldon is actually referring to the recollection dissipation. And so I think you can Google for that episode and you can watch that episode where he's actually talking about dissipation too in the physics world. If you're a person who really wants to analyze this and overanalyze this, what I would tell you to do is to Google for the evolution of atomic structure, so that if you really want to pick apart what dissipation is. And so now I'll go to my version. Dissipation is an evolution in the atomic molecular structure of the universe. As it progresses, our bodies and minds are going to be very much different because the entire structure of the atoms and molecule around us has changed. And dissipation is an unreversible process, and it will never go back to the energy that it was before. So I'll talk about that as that, but I want to skip back again and go to my biblical thing. And I read the whole Bible a long time ago because I wanted to know it was in it without somebody giving me a bunch of quotes. And in Revelation, it's stated in the old King James Version that we have 2,000 years of chaos on earth, and then that we would go into 1,000 years of peace and healing. When you look at that, that was, starting with the time of crisis when we have the Julian calendar starting to count off the years from 1 to 2000. We're in year 2020 right now.
Right.
2000 years of chaos. We can't say it's ended, but like anything, it can't stop suddenly. It'll just kind of dwindle out and dwindle into the next phase of something, right? And So to me, this 1,000 years, which started with 2000, is when we're going into that time of peace and healing. And if we look at it, our first big bump into looking at our world differently was when the bombings occurred in New York City in 2001 on September 11th. So unlike other terroristic bombings, which there were a lot of them here, this one changed the way everybody looked at the world. It affected the whole world. Travel, businesses, politics, everything changed, right? In a day. And the biggest part of that was that people found out that the things that they thought only happened to other people could happen to them too. It affected everybody. So to me, that was the start of, the real start of dissipation was back in around 85, 86, 87, around in that time when the atomic change started taking place. And, the element itself of dissipation started processing like in 85, 86, 87, around in that time.
1985. Okay.
Yeah, around in that time. And so now what we have is this COVID-19. And I prefer to stick with calling it COVID-19. I think the days of racism need to come to the end. I've heard people talk about, they call it the Spanish flu. So to me, so now we recognize that racism is bad. So whether you did it in the past or not, you know better now. So let's not be calling this Chinese flu. This is COVID-19. We don't know that China had it first. What we do know is that China has gamillions of people. You know, if you know anything about China, they're kind of like packed in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have a really populated kind of place like that where everybody's rubbing shoulders all the time, the odds that they're going to be passing a disease to one another is, to me, is ramped up, you know. So that's why this karmic dissipation came back to mind again. That the entire universe is in the process of dissipation. That's a physical change in the structure of the universe. And so why it's called karmic dissipation, to me, I looked up the dictionary.
Wikipedia.
In the dictionary, the description of karma. Mm-hmm. And it stems from, the word itself stems from beliefs in Hinduism and Buddhism. But I hear a lot of people refer it to it in ways that karma doesn't really function. Basically, it's a belief that if somebody does something bad in this life, there's some kind of punishment coming to them in this life. And the problem with that is that something that one person thinks of as a bad action might not be thought of as a bad action by other people, right? So what is a karmic behavior? So, for example, I knew a wealthy woman, and she instituted lawsuits against other people, like we use toilet paper, except for now everybody's hoarding toilet paper. But she just did lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit. And one of the things that she was constantly yelling basically at other people was that karma would get them, as if whatever she was doing was a nice thing and it wasn't creating bad karma, you know? So, and when I've seen things with karma, it doesn't necessarily mean that you get to see that outcome in this lifetime. It might be that justice or karma, whatever you want to call it, never affects that person in this lifetime. So you might not live to see karma.
Thought came to mind. You ever hear of us paying for sins of the father?
Right. And that would be, that's kind of like karma. Yeah.
Just suppose somebody's father or mother did something bad, you know, 50, 60 years ago. You're saying that it could affect us today, the offspring.
Yes, that was the belief. And I do believe that there was, there still kind of is this karmic bond attachment that I see. And I want to read this one thing that that again, coming out of dictionary.com, the cosmic principle according to which each person is rewarded or punished in one incarnation according to that person's deeds in the previous incarnation. And I do believe that that has been functional in the, you know, last 2000 on Earth. But I look at it also as, you know, it's like a link from one soul to another. So say in your family, you have a karmic link between all of you. That's why you're family. But you can have that one person who isn't directly involved in the family, though they are a family member. So obviously they don't have a karmic link. Mm-hmm. That so in the past, we did have that eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That would be karma. So it's, to me, it's been like a threat. I've actually seen things for people that believe in reincarnation where you come back and you have a karmic attachment to somebody else that you had to work out maybe some kind of situation with them, and you were forced to work out that situation with them. And again, it was like that, you reaped what you sowed.
Right. So on a personal level, you have karma. Now, karmic dissipation, is that affecting us as a society? Do you see the, is the COVID-19 affecting us collectively?
Well, the COVID, to me, COVID-19 fits into this because COVID-19 is in a process of changing your entire reality. You got to sit at home and think about some things right now in those cities that are in lockdown. You have to think about your interaction with other people. You have to think about that you could easily get this and die from it, because we're seeing people die from it. You know, you got them on the TV right now where they're interviewing somebody and then 2 days later, the person's dead, you know. So this is touching every single level in the world. This isn't anything. That's why I look at it as a part of karmic dissipation, because it's worldwide. It's in the entire world. And so, you know, something I wanted to mention here, too, because I have had a couple people call me about, well, why didn't you see this? Why didn't you? Usually you're sending us an email and telling us, you know, if there's going to be a bunch of earthquakes, so chill out or, you know, whatever. And I haven't been sending my emails for a while now. But what I would say to people, when even people that would be listening and going, well, how come you didn't predict this for everybody?
Fair question.
Yeah. What I would tell them is I did predict September 11th. But what's happened this year, that I had some personal losses I took real heavy. My dog died. He was my dog, my only company for 14 years. So there's an energy balance that has to take place. And I got very self-focused instead of universally focused. Let me pat you on the back. So I got very self-focused instead of universally focused. And so that's why I think that I didn't get that this was a thing coming to the earth. What I did get is when I was doing my own cards, because I do that periodically, I use a regular deck of cards. And I am writing a book on how to do that for yourself that should be out this fall. But so when I was doing my own cards, there was a series of cards that came out that had to do with health, that had to do with catastrophe and tears, that had to do with death, that had to do with total change. And it was in a part of my cards that are called destiny. I actually thought it was telling me, because I had cancer 3 years ago, my cancer was coming back and I was going to die from it. That's the thought that I had in my head. Not that this was a universal COVID-19 coming. I was very self-focused at that time. And then what ended up happening, that was in October, and what ended up happening is I got very ill mid-December with a respiratory illness, with severe bronchial issues. Couldn't even talk for at least a 2.5 week period because I was just so filled up and with fever and stuff. I could have even had the COVID-19. And so as a result of that, not making excuses for myself, but saying, you know, as a human being, I'm allowed to think only about me for a while. I don't have to be predicting major world things. I don't care, you know, about things like, oh, Kim Kardashian went and, you know, got butt surgery. you know what I mean? About, or like, what's this guy over here going to do? I don't care. What my sessions are about is one-on-one, that I deal with people on a one-on-one basis. And so perhaps if I had been doing readings during that time, I would have picked up that there was this really horrible worldwide virus coming in. I didn't. I was focused on me, and I don't apologize for focusing on me. So that's just to answer, because I know we'll get that. I always get that kind of stuff. It's like, well, why didn't you see that, you know? Why didn't you see that I was going to fall down my neighbor's steps and break my leg? You know, I actually got that from a friend this year.
But there was one psychic who kind of mentioned this. Wasn't there a Sylvia somebody?
Well, Sylvia Brown, I have seen that circulating. I haven't seen that book myself. And again, I kind of get skeptical anyway when stuff is circulating on Facebook and that, because somebody could have typed that up on a piece of paper, glued it to a book, took a picture of it and went, hey, this thing is in, you know, Sylvia Brown's book. I don't know. And the reason that I question it is because I saw the exact duplicate circus going around. And it was in some book by some guy, David Nielsen or something like that. It was word for word of this one that was circulating with Sylvia Brown. And oh, I looked at that and I went, okay. So maybe this Sylvia Brown thing is just meh. Do you remember the years when everything was Nostradamus?
Yes, I remember that. Yes.
Yeah. So in one of my Facebook posts, when I was posting about COVID-19, I did post on that night and I put P.S. I know about this because five lifetimes ago, Nostradamus told me.
Right. And there's even a joke meme out there on the internet a few years ago. It said, don't believe everything you read on the internet. And underneath it, Abe Lincoln.
Yeah, I saw that one because it's true, because there's just so many. I even see things come through. People have sent me stuff on COVID-19 and I kind of get, you know, pissed off about it and go, don't send me that crap. You know, unless you're actually there and you heard this, you can show me the video of the doctor saying it. I don't want to hear this crap about one of them that was circulating. Maybe you saw it, is my friend works in a doctor's office. Mm-hmm. And this is what she said, that all these people are dying because they pumped gas and got coronavirus from pumping their gas, which, you know, I understand. So you could just say to people, here's a reminder that also when you're at the gas station, you got to be careful, because a lot of people have handled that gas pump and one of them might have had coronavirus. But, you know, but to me, to go to the drama of, oh, some person in the doctor's office and there's 187 people that now have coronavirus because they got gas over here at the 7-Eleven. You know, I'm sorry. People, and I think some people really like scaring the hell out of you. I know a lot of, there's people out there that they just like being scared.
Tell you about it. And I swear to God that some of these people on the TV, you know, who are with the government, and they're by and large unelected officials, they're talking about, this is what we need to do. We need to lock down. And immediately it brings to light, to my memory, are you ever familiar with the show called The Office?
I'm familiar, but I didn't really watch it.
Yeah, there was a character on there named Dwight Schrute. They're the people who, for instance, in the hallways at school, they were the hallway monitors type of people. I mean, some people just live for the drama.
Drama.
It gives them purpose.
The sky is falling.
Yeah,
is falling.
Right, yeah. Right. They turn into General Patton.
The toilet paper thing.
Yeah.
the toilet paper thing. Dudes, it's like, this is a respiratory flu. It's not a stomach flu. You don't get diarrhea.
Well, you know, Charmin's not going to tell you any different than that, you know.
Yeah, it's like, oh my gosh.
It's like, buy it up, boys, buy it up. A lot of people, I'm thinking, you were mentioning karmic dissipation and how the paradigm is going to shift, right?
Yep.
And that we're all going to think, oh my God, what's going on? And a lot of people are upset and filled with tension. I can't blame them, being told that my life will never be the same again. And especially for people in their 30s and 40s and on up who've been around for a while, that's a very scary thought. My question is, do you think we can expect a return to normal where people will start going to Vegas again and pulling those slots, where people will go to hotels and go to watch comedians like yourself? We're not going to turn into a North Korea, are we?
I don't think so at all. One of the things that I have seen in looking at Vegas, because this is where I live now, is that I do feel there's a lot of businesses that are going to fail. I feel like the economic disaster is going to be far greater than the coronavirus effects, that because they've shut down a lot of businesses and things like that, that there's going to be a lot of businesses go under. I also think we're going to have some major issues with the banks. Because think about all the numbers of people that can't pay their loans, can't pay their credit cards.
True.
And so there's going to be a big backlash there with the cash flow in and out of the banks. But I had a vision of kind of like all the lights going back on in Vegas again. So I do think that's probably going to be... we're shut down here for 30 days, which is till around April 15th. But I was actually seeing by May that the lights come back up. I think people will be a little afraid to travel. But at the same time, I think after 3 days at home, that people are going to be going, screw this, I'm going.
Which is exactly why I think martial law will never work. I mean, you could do martial law in other countries, maybe parts of Europe, but you try it here. I know here in Pennsylvania, our Governor Wolf, he's been on TV now for about a week saying at 8 p.m. so-and-so will shut down and so forth and so on. And then you go out the next day and you are like, you know what? I need a coffee. I'm going to go to Dunkin' Donuts. And they're open. I need a filter. I need an HVAC filter. You go to the hardware store. There's the HVAC filter. I need a toner for the laser printer. Okay, I'm going to Best Buy. Boom, they're open.
Right, so, but it's not that way here in Vegas. It is not that way here. That any of those non-essential business, like you could go and you could order something online and it will be shipped to your door. Unless it's back ordered. Okay. But no, all of those businesses are closed down. They're shut.
Right.
They're just not open. So.
And you think of all the poor people that are being affected by this. People working in the service industry, by and large. If you're making $15 an hour, you're doing okay. And a lot of those people have young people with families and.
You wouldn't think about this, but all the entertainers, my Canadian friends are all out of work right now. They are professional comedians. My one friend, he had 2 months of bookings in Canada. So he would have been, financially secure. He makes really great money every time he steps on the stage. And first, Canada and the United States decided no Americans were going to go into Canada. So he couldn't go in there. He couldn't fly over. And he ended up his flights canceling, and they didn't reimburse him the money. Instead, they gave him a credit towards future flights. But, you know, as a result of that, then one after the other, the comedy clubs all shut up there. There's no performances here whatsoever. So all of these comedian friends, people who had tours, think about it. You know, Celine Dion, just, you know, massive amount of entertainers that were here, they don't have shows, and they don't have paychecks, you know, that they're out of work and they're out of money. And I feel sorry that there's a lot of people, like, say, the waitresses, even if they get unemployment, but I think their unemployment doesn't cover what they got with tips too, that I think it only covers their basic wage. And, you know, so they're going to be, and those people only make, you know, like 12, 15 at the most dollars an hour anyway.
Yeah.
And so where are they going to get the money to pay their rent? And even if the government sends them $1,000, $1,000 isn't going to do twice for you. You know, that might give you some money to buy some food, but it's not going to pay anybody's rent, you know. And so to me, I'm more concerned about people in the financial whiplash. That's, I'm looking at the economic as a clairvoyant. That's where I see we got some real worries here. And on the positive, I would say also that this kind of levels the playing field, because this is going to affect the rich too. This is going to affect all the, you know, the stockholders, the business owners, the big buck people. Say, for example, if a guy, he owns an apartment complex, he's not going to have that rent coming in.
Who was one of the people who was running for Democrat? He was in the primaries. I think his last name was Wang.
And
He was talking about a living wage, because he wasn't so prescient as to see what's going on now back in January when the debates began. But he was talking about a living wage, because saying that a lot of people are going to be displaced because of artificial intelligence and manufacturing jobs being taken over. He was even talking about truck drivers' jobs being taken over by self-driving vehicles, which...
That's possible.
Yeah.
Well, that's possible. But also, if you look at fast-moving railways coming in too, that you might not need as many truck drivers.
True. And so he was talking about a living wage, I think, $2,000 a month to each person? And which translates to about $24,000 a year, which, you know, that's in today's day and age, whether you're paying a mortgage or you're paying rent, you just might be living out of a car.
Well, I think it would even be impossible to be able to do that. The thing that you have to, again, people forget, is that our paying taxes is where the government gets their money to pay for all this stuff. And right now, what we've got going, we already had this, what was it, the worst deficit, like, in the history of the country going on. And now we've got trillions and billions that are going out for whatever, you know, testing kits, sending everybody $1,000 a month now and $1,000 a month later. Where's that money coming from? You know, and if the United States doesn't have the tax income, they do it with loans. And if the banks are already, you know, having their loans defaulted on, where are you going to borrow the money?
That's one other concern that some other people are mentioning, the word hyperinflation, where more and more money vis-a-vis being printed by the press or digitally created, however the Fed does it, you're going to have more and more money chasing fewer goods because people aren't out there producing these goods and services.
Right.
And so $2,000 a month, well, it's going to feel like maybe $800, $900 a month. So these are all very complex questions. But
it certainly is. And one of the things that I've already seen when I went and bought my groceries the other day, that the grocery stores aren't worried about profiting from this stuff, because I saw things that I know my prices. It's only me, you know. And so, like, maybe a can of something, a can of beets that was 58 cents before is $1.58 now.
Oh, my God.
If you go and you're looking at the prices and, like, the prices of bread, you know, everything that's for sale in that store now, they have upped that price. And so they could say, well, it's because, you know, the truckers are charging more than the middleman or whatever. It's like, dudes, we know you're making a profit off of this. You have an opportunity to make a greater profit. That's what you're doing. You're a business. And you could do it. You could get away with it.
Other places like Whole Foods and Trader Joe's, where you can get really low prices. Do they have a Trader Joe's in Vegas?
Yeah, we do. I think there's two here. Great. And there's a couple of
terrific
stores. Couple of Whole Foods. Yeah, yeah, a couple of Whole Foods. So, but and you know, is it like this when you go in the stores there? When you go here, the shelves are completely bare.
It's not so bad here, but you go to the toilet paper section. Yeah, it's pretty bad. Yeah. But no, around here, haven't seen those types of shortages yet. But then again, it's only been about a month since the shit hit the fan. So
Well, here it's major bad that way. Major bad here in Vegas with that. There's nothing. In fact, I was cracking up about it. I went to the store the other day, and the only thing that was left in the meat section were like pork roast rolls in plastic. So I bought one. I haven't had pork roast in 20 years. And there was like some bacon because I guess the shipment had come in. Absolutely no eggs whatsoever. Anytime they've been in the store, the eggs are all gone. So what they instituted here is for seniors, they now have senior grocery hours. So seniors can go in from 7 to 8 a.m. and buy while there's still something on the shelves to buy. But if you go like about, 11, 12 o'clock, nothing. There's nothing left on the shelves.
Here in Pennsylvania, they have the senior thing. But a lot of them are bitching because people... 20, 30 year old people are going in there and they're faster.
Sure.
They could grab it before they do.
Now they have that. Well, now they have it that no, if you're under 60, you can't go in the store between 7 and 8. So, yeah.
Okay.
I did feel like when I was at the store the other day, like I was in the middle of a sci-fi movie. And then it hits me. You know, it's like if you're in a sci-fi movie, you've seen it where they're going through the grocery store and there's all kinds of stuff on a shelf, but there's no people on the streets and all this. And this is like the opposite of it. You know, that nothing on the shelves, not very much traffic. If you see Vegas Boulevard, which is always so busy, one or two cars. It's
Oh, my God.
It's insane. It really,
wow.
It's mind shock. It really is mind shock when you see what a robust city this was, and it's dark. It is shut down.
Wow, that is just spooky. So I would just hope that if our darkest fears come true and that it was a man-made virus, that they gain a conscience and they see what's going on.
No, I don't think that'll ever happen. I do. You know, if we're going to construct a conspiracy theory here, what I would say is I think that there was an enemy who did start with the germ warfare, and I think it ricocheted, went a different way than what they thought. I think that they did, send it to not only China, but somewhere else. But they sent it into China. And I think really what it was supposed to do was it was supposed to do exactly that thing that says, see, it was America that did this because they have the trade wars going and see, right. This is a, but it didn't go that way because what ended up happening is all these other places, even Finland, you know, got coronavirus really bad. So I just don't think it went the way that they thought so. The doctor that originally discovered it in China the other day, I did see where he was vindicated. That he did, he discovered it. He didn't do it. That they're looking at that. They said no. He discovered it. He was just the guy that went. Oh, I'm seeing a case of the same thing. So he identified it. So, but.
Wow. So these are some crazy times we're living in. Someday they're going to make a movie out of this.
Hopefully they'll make a movie out of it.
We've got to wind down a little bit, but your business is doing very well.
Yes.
Are you able to provide consultation for people to seek help, guidance on the weeks and months ahead?
I would say like somewhat. I kind of feel like I don't want that responsibility. That's a lot of pressure for me. You know, it's kind of like it's sort of like bad enough telling your brothers and sisters and your kids to keep them out of harm. What I can help you do is see outcomes and decisions and that kind of stuff. I can see what's on your destiny path. I don't predict death. I don't even like to look at death, so don't even call me. You know, to find out whether you're going to die or not from the coronavirus or if your mom or dad is going to. What I would say, the best thing that I do right now is that I do emotional release and energy balance.
Oh, that's the second part. That's the second part of the equation. Do you have some time to explain emotional release? Or do you want to do that for another episode?
I could maybe explain a little.
Well, yeah, give us a definition, but I would like to do another episode with you soon where you could talk about the personal release.
Well, this briefly, what I would say is as we go through life, for whatever reasons, emotion is an energy. And that emotion gets trapped in your body. And that's what causes illness. That's what causes, disease, mental kind of stuff like depression and that kind of stuff. It gets stuck in your body. And so with my methodology using muscle testing, we locate what the emotion is and when it got there. How old were you when it got there? And we release that energy using magnetism. And I can do this via proxy, so it doesn't matter where you live. I use Facebook video right now, and I go on, and that's what we do, is releasing that energy. It takes 45 minutes to an hour. And the results are that people feel happier, where maybe they'd had anger before. They don't feel angry. They feel frustrated. I had somebody that had a hip issue. She said within 2 days, 90% of that hip issue was gone when she dealt with it for years. Another guy was a paraplegic. He was having some stomach issues. He said within 3 days, the stomach issues had subsided greatly. And I've been doing this methodology like on myself since last July or August. And the thing that I find is I can truly say I feel happier than I've ever felt in my life. It's like I still have problems. But the way that I look at them, the way that I deal with them, the emotions that come from them are different. They're lighter. I feel like I, lost 100 pounds of energy. So that's what I'm focusing on mainly with the clients now, is the energy balancing. They're real happy, getting really good feedback on results. I still do the readings, but again, it's reading coaching. So I'm helping, giving you ways to deal with your future with my, my second sight or my remote viewing. So, and if people are like really broke, because I know people are having a tough time right now, what I've been doing is reducing my rates. Because you know me a long time, I'm in the business of helping people. And why I got into the energy releasing is I see it as the medicine of the future, and that it just can help so many people that I just feel like this is just like such a fabulous thing for people to just change your whole emotional makeup, get you out of depression. I'm just so excited about it. Just totally excited about it.
Yeah, you got me. I'm starting to sound like a monster again.
We'll have to do you. I got a lot of guys that have gone. I have a lot of guys. My one of my favorite comedians, a very funny guy. His name. I'll give his name. He might get mad at me, but his name is. He goes by Tommy Llama. Is his stage name. And he goes as Charlie Sheen's spiritual advisor.
I've seen him.
He's very funny. Very funny. Very intelligent guy. And so Tommy even came today and said, hey, let's do this. Let's do energy balance. What a lot of people tell me, too, is they just can't believe. They're so surprised that this methodology not only identifies the emotion, but the age you were when that event happened. And they'll go, oh my God, yeah, that was 69 that happened. And that's the biggest thing. They're surprised.
Okay, I'm getting this feedback. Okay. Is it going? Okay. I know a lot of people, a lot of adults, they have relationship issues. Okay. They're talking about, it might have been a recent divorce or a breakup or something like that. Can you help people in those situations?
Pretty much so, because what happens is those relationships may be compounded by some of the emotion that got stuck in their body. I just had somebody, and she's been in a series of abusive relationships. And so we went back and we looked at that. There were a lot of emotional issues that got stuck in there as a child. And so to my belief is those emotions, like say it would be like low self-esteem, lack of control, failure, despair, betrayal, abandonment, that those are experiences that you might have had, you know, as a kid or in your young adult life, and they compound all your emotion after that. So like say you had depression at 2, the next incident is going to be double that. The next incident of that is going to be triple that. So with each incident, that emotion is very deepened. And so when we release that, it's like a whole new layer.
There's scars that never healed properly. And so
Right.
That makes perfect sense. Yeah, I'd love to do that episode with you. And
there's a special thing that's called a heart wall, that we build a heart wall, and you can actually, through muscle testing, show a person that like this wall can go out 12 feet from you. And so it keeps you from feeling emotion. It keeps you from really opening up and loving people. And you probably heard me say in the past about myself that I'm not relationship material. I've said that for the last 10 or 15 years. And the thing that I would say is, by doing the energy release, I'm relationship material. I might not be, you know, I might not be want to be married. I might not, you know, want to live with you. But the thing that I've done is I saw a lot of walls come down, and I've been allowing people into my inner circle when I'd shut that off about 20, 25 years ago. So now I have some like real, real good friends.
That would help a lot of people, for instance, say they were married before. And I'm not saying anything about my marriage. I'm just saying, but if I know a lot of people, a lot of my friends are of a certain age, and more than half of them have been divorced, and they go through a second marriage, and it just tanks out after about 2-3 years. And what they tell me is that a lot of their baggage that they thought they'd gotten rid of from their first marriage actually stayed there.
Maybe not that
particular person, but they're just their thoughts and their patterns. And they're like, oh, I can't trust this person. Is she going to cheat on me? Is he going to cheat on me? You know?
Right. So it's very true. Like it compounds, all that compounds. And so this doesn't make everything go away, but it makes things different. I could say people have come back to me and said, man, colors are so much more bright now. Had one lady, her hearing problem disappeared. I had another one. She had depression, and she was feeling so lethargic, like she just didn't care about life. She did the basic of whatever she had to do. And so she had emotional clearing, and she said she got up 2 days later, cleaned her entire office, did half of her to-do list, and felt like, you know, what the hell is wrong with you? You could do this. I think it manifests in all different kinds of positive ways. And, you know, I like to do positive things. I like to do positive readings. The thing that I would say is, everybody just, you know, during this coronavirus stuff, stay home like you're supposed to. Wash your hands. Do what I'm always touching my face, so forget that one. But it's just use common sense and care and take it seriously. You know, there's been people out there that didn't take it seriously, and their whole family is very ill now.
Especially if you have comorbid situations. For instance, if you just recently got over cancer or
Right.
Or pneumonia or bronchitis right. or something like that. Absolutely.
And I think, too, praise these people that are still out there. I just heard from a client of mine, his relatives. I think they're in Missouri or New Jersey. I don't know. But he's a firefighter, and he got coronavirus. He's extremely ill. His whole family is ill. So now they're having to self-contain, and all of them are very, very ill. And, you know, these people are on the firing lines every day, your nurses, your doctors, even the person handing you your takeout food, you know, the person that's at the gas station, the person, you know, that is in the grocery store checking you out, the person that's stocking those shelves, the truck drivers, all of those people. This was a thought I heard on that I hadn't thought about, but these truck drivers, since they can't go in the places, they have no way to get their food. They can't go through the drive-thru in their truck.
Oh, that's right.
They can't go to the door. They can't walk up to the drive-thru. So that's what people were saying. If you see a truck driver there, wave him down and say, hey, you want me to get your food for you?
That makes perfect sense.
We don't even think about those things, right? And right. truck drivers are super important now. They're the people that are bringing more food supplies in and more paper supplies, all that toilet paper and stuff. They're doing something major important right now.
Right.
You know, bringing things into us. That's probably where I want to end this is, you know, it's like, think about those people that are out there protecting you. They're keeping things going for you. You know, the police officers, I'm sure people can think of people that I haven't thought of today to give credit to. But think about those people. They're out there on the front lines for you.
Oh, yeah. The UPS delivery people.
Right.
You know,
Amazon
delivery people and
food
delivery yeah. people. Absolutely. They're the new heroes.
That's right. So.
Well, Lindy, it's been terrific. I can't believe it's been over 3 months, but feels good to be back behind the microphone.
I know. I've been trying to get you back over here. Really? And I would say, too, since I've been doing the energy releasing on Facebook video, I now have gotten very comfortable with seeing myself on video. Before it was like, no, don't take my picture. Don't put me on video. And so that's a good thing, too.
Yeah, you're one of them now, one of those video people.
Yeah, I am. So one day I've been, you know, been studying about getting a YouTube channel going.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe the next episode we do, which on personal release, maybe we could actually do video because we're using Facebook Messenger right now. And
right.
quality is so much better than Skype.
Yeah.
I think that we could actually do it now.
And doesn't it have there's a recording, you know? You can record this whole video.
Actually,
did
I could.
Know
yeah, I could
on
actually.
Facebook, on you, Facebook.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to look into it, but there was something that I saw, like that you click on and you go, yeah, I want to record this.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah.
I'll mention the crap out of that on our Facebook page. And
yeah,
because we have a few hundred people who follow us on there.
Yeah, to find out how to do that. You know, it might be fun just for giggles and kicks. Maybe it would work as just a podcast. But if we did your emotional release,
why not?
And recorded it,
why not?
But the other thing, but if it came into anything like say like real deep that you didn't want to mention, And I don't think I think most of the people, because it does bring up, you know, the event that is associated with this, where the people start talking about the event. But I think for the most part, I haven't had anybody. One person only that might want to censor hers, and it had to do with sexual abuse by a relative. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, nothing.
So maybe something like that. But
well, there is something that bothers me. I don't know if it happens, but I have a older brother who told me that it did happen. And it just scares the hell out of me thinking that, you know, oh my God, have I blocked it all these years? Nothing to do with my parents, but I'll talk to you about
it
offline then.
Yeah.
Okay, Lindy, hey, it's been great having you. Folks, this has been
Lindy
Baker.
I'm glad you're back. And that's lindybaker.com, LindyBaker.com. On Facebook, you can look for Clairvoyant Psychic. My phone number is 858-272-6463. If you forget any of that, just Google the name Lindy Baker and you'll find me.
Yep, I'll have it on the show notes. All right, talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
Hopefully soon.